I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
The Broncos beat the Chiefs in Denver late October last year. That was the last time they met until today. 35-yard field goal Lux. For Boney the snap, Riley the hold, Lux the kick to win it. Oh! Blocked! The Chiefs have won! The Chiefs have won!
Flacco back to pass, pocket collapsing, and it's picked off! Taron Johnson at the 22, working his way back, cuts it all the way across the field, has Rasul Douglas blocking, touchdown Buffalo!
Cross one-timer scores! Rasmus Dahlin with the overtime winner! That is a delicious finish by the captain, and the Sabres take it 4-3.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Oh, that does not get your juices flowing on a Friday. Nothing will. Holy cow. The Chiefs blocking the field goal to go 9-0. The call from Kevin Harlan. Amazing. Now, granted, you're like, oh, come on, they blocked the field goal. Some of you like that. You wanted it. You were happy last week that the Chiefs blocked the field goal from the Broncos. They won to go 9-0 because that meant an undefeated Chiefs team coming to Orchard Park this week for the Bills to have a chance to be the first team to beat them. And then, of course, right after that, Chris Brown on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, Taron Johnson with the pick six on the first play, first defensive play of the game for the Buffalo Bills last week at the Indianapolis Colts, helping to propel them eventually to a 30-20 win to go 8-2 on the season. And then last night, great response from the Sabres after that crap no-goal call. Come on, what are we doing? Officials already getting into form, making calls for teams from Missouri here in Western New York. Am I right? I kid, kind of. Great response from the Sabres, though, to come back, tie the game, and then win it ultimately in overtime. And that arena, you were there last night. Josh Schmidt producing here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. You were there last night. Was that arena jumping on that goal or what?
It was.
I could feel it.
There was just like, I haven't been to a game like this in a long time where it was like everyone was just united. The ref you suck chant was the longest and loudest I've ever heard. I mean, granted, I don't know how many times that's happened in like the last 13 years. So, you know, I mean, again, I'm younger and everything like that. I'm sure there's been louder ones. But in the times I've been there, I've been part of the ref you suck chant. But that was like, it just kept going and going and going. And I'm like,
that's my 10-year-old's favorite chant, by the way.
Yeah,
he just, because he's 10, and he's like, that's really cool to say, to yell, ref, you suck.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's great. And to be fair, they weren't great at all last night. There was missed penalties. There was that goal.
Overtime goal. Tell me about what the arena was like.
Man, that, it was not necessarily like a roar before the horn, but everyone was just kind of like on the edge of your seat, like you're like half standing.
Yep.
And then the pass to Dahlin, I missed because everyone stood up. Like, it was almost like everyone knew that he was about to score. And then, so we're all standing up as he just roofs it, and it's just, everyone's going crazy.
That's what they call bar down in hockey. I mean, he hit bar down.
It was back bar.
It was, right? It was back bar, right? Okay, so it has to be front bar to go to bar down?
Yeah, usually bar down
is front bar, and then straight down?
Is the red bar down into the
net. Okay, well, we were watching it last night. I had to show Max this morning. He plays hockey now, and that's a big thing with the kids. Bar down. Right? And I'm like, hey, it was bar down. But you're right. I mean, it wasn't quite exactly that, but what a shot. So the Sabres win last night. Really nice win. We're going to talk with Paul Hamilton at 11 a.m. today. Get an update on Tage Thompson. We know Matias Samuelsson's going to be out a while. UPL, who didn't play last night as well. And a Sabres victory, which gets them right back in the mix in the wild card, right? I mean, like, look, there's a lot of season left, but it's nice to be there as opposed to, all right, well, we're already out of it by Thanksgiving, which is in a couple of weeks. So we'll do that at 11 a.m. today. Patrick Hammer joins me at 11:30 a.m. It's looking pretty good for Sunday as of now. We'll let Pat tell you all about the tailgating. Lots of tailgating is going to be going on because this is a 4:25 p.m. game between the Bills and the Chiefs on Sunday. And we'll take a look at your weather for next week leading into the bye week and the weekend. We'll do that. And I got to tell you what I'm doing next week. I'll tell you about that in a little while. Before we do all that, in just about a half hour from now, maybe a little bit more than that, Bills head coach Sean McDermott is going to join me here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And of course, Sean McDermott is always going to give us an injury update here, first and foremost, that is very important this week because of the players that have been either not participating or limited. Namely, Dalton Kincaid has not practiced for two straight days. Spencer Brown has not practiced for two straight days. And Amari Cooper, limited. He's been limited the last 2 weeks, has not played. But he did tell the media yesterday after practice he's feeling like he can play this week, and he might even do it with his cast on, apparently, the way that he made it sound yesterday. So we'll do that. That will be your Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. And, of course, we'll get a sense of this weekend's game from Sean McDermott. Big game on the schedule for the Buffalo Bills. On the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, we'll take your calls, 803-0550. We have open phone lines right now. I'd really love to get your thoughts on this game because, I mean, this is a really interesting game psychologically for Bills fans in a lot of different ways. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that, and I'd like you to call. 803-0550 is the number. We have open phone lines right now. But I'll tell you first that our Buffalo Football Friday, as always, is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. I have said all week that this kind of feels like almost a no-win type of situation for the Bills in some respects by a lot of fans, including their own fans. Because you have a segment of fans, this might be you out there listening, it might not be, but there are a lot of fans who, if the Bills were to lose this game, they'll jump right on the, see, they were never that good, you can't beat the good teams, Sean McDermott loses to Andy Reid again in a big game. That's going to happen. There are also fans, and a lot of these are the same fans, who, if the Bills win, will tell you, I don't care. Do it when it matters in January. You've done this before, and then you still lose to that team when it comes time for the playoffs. To me, that's a no-win situation. Now, that's not the team, that's not the players, that's not the coaches. I think that's a perception from fans, national, local. Jeremy brought up a good point this morning, and I agree with this. If I'm generally the optimistic guy, right? That's a little bit of a pessimistic way to look at it, but I do think that that's how a lot of people are looking at it. Jeremy, on his show this morning, said it could be looked at as a no-lose type of situation for the Bills, which is also true, right? Because think about it. If the Bills win this game, yeah, you just beat Kansas City. You ruined their perfect season. Let's go, baby. Now you're a half game out of the one seed. Who knows what can happen? They have their kicker is down for a few weeks here. They could stub their toe. No pun intended because it's a kicker, but that could happen. And the Bills have a look at maybe the one seed. Who knows? But they're in a great position, and it feels really good. If you lose, okay. You have your bye week next week. You play San Francisco. You're still 8-3. Really good record. Season's not over. So What did it really, truly matter, right? So that's why I want to get a sense from you. Like, how big is this game for you? What does it matter for you? Does it matter? Is this a game where, hey, you're just going to go have fun, whatever happens, happens, or are you really looking at this game? I guess that's the two ways, right? You could look at it, if I work it through my head, there's probably three ways to look at this. The first way would be, you know what? Whatever happens, happens. I'm cool with it. I'm cool with the result because it doesn't end the season for the Bills. But if they win, that's going to be awesome and I'll celebrate. And it really makes me feel better going into my bye week. The second way to look at it is, yeah, and it's just, it doesn't really matter. Like, yeah, they could win. It's not going to move the needle because you have to beat this team in January. They could lose. It's not going to move the needle because you have to beat this team in January. You could look at it that way. Or you could look at it the third way, which is, oh no, this is a big game. Like, they need to win this. I'm going to feel way different if they win or lose. Right? So I just think that there's so many ways you could look at this game between these two different teams, and I think it's going to be a really good game, too. If I had to lean, I'd say maybe lower scoring, even though you have Patrick Mahomes and you have Josh Allen. I mean, if you look at these two teams and what they've done this year, really, more than anything, now the Bills are very highly ranked in scoring points. Let me get their official, you know, overall points scored per game. The Bills are third in the league in points scored. I mean, there are only two teams who scored over 30 a game, and the Bills are just below that at 29. It goes Baltimore, Detroit, Buffalo. The Bills are at 29. Third in the league in points scored, which is amazing, thinking about all the changes they had on offense and what we've thought about what they would be this year. The Chiefs, by the way, are, they're about what? Let's see, where would this be? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, just out of the top 10. They're 11th. 24.3, which is still good. But if you look at the defensive side, that's where both these teams come in very highly ranked in this game. The Chiefs are the number 5 defense in the league, allowing only 17.9 points per game. The Bills are number 9 in the league, allowing 19.3. Neither team is allowing more than 20 points per game. 20 might win it in this game, folks. 20 might win it. That's why those every play, every critical down and distance, every moment is going to be critical. It's going to matter in this game. I think the number one thing in this game is third downs for the Chiefs, especially. Like when the Chiefs are on offense, I should say, third downs. The Kansas City Chiefs are amazing on third down this year. 52%. It's really hard to be over 50% in the NFL for a long stretch of time. Here we are in week number 11. The Chiefs are at 52% still. Only one other team, the Bucs, actually are 50%. But it's very hard. And the reason why I say that, though, is this is why. It's not just, oh, yeah, well, it's third down and they're the Chiefs. The Bills have been very good on third down. They were over 50% a couple years ago. Here's why I say it. I want to give you a couple numbers that just really stand out to me that I looked up this week, all right? This is how critical third down is going to be. Believe it or not, the Kansas City Chiefs, total yards per play. Now, I know that there's a lot of stats you can massage and say different ways, and it's not the greatest way to look at things, but I just want to give you a good general overview. Total yards per play on the season, offensively, they're 19th. That's super average. It's below average. 19th. So on an average play, they gain 5.17 yards. It sounds like a lot. It's actually 19th in the league on an average play. So you would think that because of that, they're not sustaining drives. But they are. Because what they do is, they get in third down and they convert. And then because of that, they're actually number one in the league in A, number of plays per drive, which is 7 on average, and time per drive, 3.5 minutes essentially. What's happening with the Kansas City Chiefs is, they are not winning on first and second down, except for maybe putting themselves in decent situations, I guess. You're not like gaining 8 yards a play. But man, they're converting third downs and they're forcing you to stay on the field on defense, and then they get points at the end of the drives, even if it's just field goals. It just puts so much stress on you to make sure you don't let them stay on the field. The good news for the Bills is, their third down defense this year, well, it has been pretty good. Actually, no, you know what now? Third down defense for the Bills has not been very good. Sorry. The tough news for the Bills, their third down defense this year is 21st in the league. 40% they're giving up. They have to be better than that. I was looking at red zone when I was saying good news, by the way. They're 8th in the league in red zone defense. The Bills are actually buckling down in the red zone, but teams are converting. This game's going to come down to very, very slim margins. On third down and in the red zone. And you need to get them off the field. And if you don't, you better make sure they don't score touchdowns. Now, that might also play into how the Chiefs play. This might be affected because the Chiefs are going to be without, apparently, Harrison Butker, their kicker, who's really, really good. And he's had these great big kicks against the Buffalo Bills. Yesterday, reports surfaced, and I haven't seen this morning if it's become official or anything by the Chiefs, but several national outlets, including Tom Pelissero and Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter. So it's happening. Harrison Butker's going on injured reserve, their kicker. He's not going to play in this game. And this is like a surprise to them because on Wednesday, he was a full participant in practice. He wasn't even on their injury report. Now, he had been dealing with an injury, but they must have decided on Thursday to shut him down, or maybe something happened Thursday at practice. So now they're going to dip into the Jets practice squad to bring a new kicker on. And that could be really a swing of the game. Because, A, him kicking the ball, he could miss a kick, obviously, that Harrison Butker couldn't. But I'll tell you also how it could be. Maybe Andy Reid plays third downs and fourth downs differently because of that situation. I think it's fascinating. I'm all about this game. I'm all about the X's and O's, the matchup. How do the Bills try to stop those third downs? How do they match up against Travis Kelce? Look, the Bills are hurting right now. We know that Dalton Kincaid might not play. We'll get that from Sean McDermott in about a half hour, whether or not he's going to officially declare him out or he's going to leave the door open. We know that. We know Keon Coleman's not going to play already. Yes, they're hurting. You know where they're not really hurting as much? On defense, compared to what they've been maybe earlier this year. Their corners are healthy. Rasul Douglas was not healthy when they played the Chiefs last year in the playoffs. He was banged up. He was trying to play on one leg, essentially. We know their linebackers were not healthy when they played the Chiefs in the playoffs last year. Now, the Bills don't have Matt Milano right now. He's coming back at some point, but he's not playing. They do have Dorian Williams, who's having a really nice year, and they do obviously have Terrell Bernard, who did not play in that game last week. Obviously, they still have injuries up front to Dwayne Carter and Dewan Smoot. We know that. So from a standpoint of kind of guys who've been out, who were out last year, who are playing in this game, a little bit different. So I think that's where the Bills have to win this game, is to make sure they do not allow the Kansas City Chiefs to convert third downs. And then if they do, you have to make sure you force field goal attempts because you don't know what's going to happen with the kicker. 803-0550. It's fascinating. Got a lot to get to today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sean McDermott at 1045. Paul Hamilton at 11. Pat Hammer at 1130. I'm also going to tell you a little bit about next week. I'm going to be gone next week. Every year I take a vacation around the Bills bye week if it's conducive, and it is so conducive this year, and I'll let you know exactly why that is. Plus, I had I have a poll up. Here's the poll I have. If you go to, I retweeted it at Sal Sports. That's on Twitter. Yes, I'm on Blue Sky too, which I want to talk about today. Yes, I'm going to go there. I'm going to talk about social media platforms today. Not going to get political, just going to talk about social media platforms and why. But if you go to my Twitter page, at Sal Sports, I have retweeted a poll from the Extra Point Show account, which, by the way, is at Extra Point WGR. Here's the poll. What's the best case results for the Bills? What are the best case results for the Bills in the other two huge AFC games this week? Ravens at Steelers, Bengals at Chargers. There is one particular result running away with it right now. But check it out. We already have over 500, close to 600 votes. I just put it up a little while ago. Get in on that poll. Vote Ravens-Bengals, Ravens-Chargers, or Steelers-Bengals, or Steelers-Chargers. Give it a vote in the poll. We're over 600 votes in right now. 803-0550 is the number to call. Oh, yeah. And we will talk about those games. We'll jump around the league. And how about last night? Got a story for you last night. If you went to the game, you saw some Chiefs fans there probably. I think you did. I got a story about that in a little while. Let's start it off right now, though, with Brian in Charlotte. Hi, Brian. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday.
Hey, Sal. I'm cautiously optimistic about this weekend's game. I really hope that Cooper can go. I think if we don't have Coleman and Kincaid and Cooper, we might be in trouble. But I want to take a step back and talk to you a little bit about the Broncos-Chiefs blocked field goal.
Okay.
The Chiefs had gotten down to the 18-yard line. It was only a 35-yard field goal. Would you agree that these kickers have their legs are as strong as ever in the history of the league? Would you agree with that?
Sure, absolutely. We've seen that.
Would you agree that the long snappers are as accurate as they've ever been?
Well, I mean, I guess. I don't know. I haven't gone back and analyzed that part of it, but go ahead.
So why are we only doing a kick 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage?
It's eight.
So why are we only doing a kick 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage?
I don't know. It's a good question. You're saying back them up to maybe 10 because they can make that. I guess the answer would be because you're going to rep those all the time at the same yardage, right? You're not going to go from 8 to 10 at practice. You could, but you're not. So that when you get in those situations, those longer field goals, those 1 or 2 yards would matter. I guess that would be the answer, Brian. I understand your point, though.
I mean, for every 3 feet farther back you go, for every yard farther back you go, you gained 2 feet of height.
Mm-hmm.
So if they went back to a 10-yard step that kick would have been 4 feet higher in the air. You would never have a blocked field goal if you always kicked from 10
well,
yards.
Well, that's not necessarily, I will tell you, did you, I get your point. By the way, you're talking way over my head with some math here, by the way, Brian. Listen, did you see, you need to see this, Brian, go search out Bill Belichick breaking down that blocked field goal. It's fascinating. He actually said, if the ball was in the middle of the field, it would not have been blocked. But because the trajectory had to push it a tiny bit left, that's why, and the Chiefs knew that, and that's why they overloaded that side.
To me, it just seems ridiculous that we're still doing the same thing we've always done with this 8 yard, 7, 8 yard snap. Mm-hmm. These guys have a huge leg. Snap it back 2 yards farther. Kick it over everyone's head. You'd never have a blocked field goal ever again. Why? We need to start thinking outside the box.
I'll ask Reed Ferguson or Tyler Bass or guys like that when I have a chance in the next couple weeks. Okay, buddy?
Please do. Thanks so much. Go Bills.
Yeah, you got it, Brian. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Let's go to Allie in Denver. What's up, Allie?
Hey there. Good morning.
Good morning.
I was just talking about the game this week, and the first time in I don't know how many years, I feel like either way this game goes is going to be a win for us. Because on the one hand, I will say, living in Denver, I am in very much Broncos country, and they hate the Chiefs about as much as we do in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And, all of my high school kids, I'm a high school teacher, they're all rooting for the Bills. Everyone in town is very much like, go Bills this week. And so, on the one hand, we have the opportunity to, ruin their perfect season. And then on the other hand, if we lose, obviously it's going to suck, but we, get another, we're going to win our division. So it's great. And I think for the first time, it's I'm going to just enjoy the heck out of this game because the stakes just don't feel they're high, but they're not the,
So you're more in the no lose situation, right? Hey, I'm just going to enjoy it. If they lose, that's okay. It does not ruin anything. The season's still on the table. And if they win, I'm going to thoroughly enjoy it.
Yeah, yep. And it's very novel for the last handful of years, because before I felt like we have to beat them, and now it's kind of win or lose, it's going to be, it's going to be okay. And there is something, I watched Deion's press conference yesterday, and he was saying, the Bills are America's team, and I do feel like everyone's pulling for us, and that's a nice feeling. So I hope the boys feel that on Sunday, and I will be hooting and hollering at the Bills bar out here in Denver.
You got it, Allie. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Really appreciate it. And look, I agree that most of the country will be rooting for the Bills to beat the Chiefs. And unless you have a lot of people out there who want to see history and the Chiefs go undefeated, for sure. How about Dolphins fans? They are certainly rooting for the Bills to ruin the Chiefs' perfect season. I think even Patriots fans would, because even though they didn't complete it in the Super Bowl, they had an undefeated regular season. So only two teams have done that. The Dolphins completed the journey, won a Super Bowl in 1972. They went undefeated all throughout. So you know that they are hoping that the Bills win. CBS is bringing their entire studio crew here to Buffalo outside Highmark Stadium, right outside the Bills store, by the way, if you're heading down. Mike in Connecticut. What's going on, Mike?
Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Good. I haven't called in a while. Usually I'm a teacher, so I have usually come on ready with stuff to talk about, but I'm home today, so I just wanted to bring up a few things. First things first, I think you bring up a really good point about Rasul Douglas, who was hurt in that Kansas City Chiefs game in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing I want to bring up is we were without Christian Benford and Terrell Bernard, who arguably have been our two most important players on defense this year, arguably. But I think that's a massive win for the Bills. And, I have to listen to a lot of these shows on Rewind, which is totally fine. But I've heard the conversation all week of, does this game matter? Does this game not matter? And I'll put it to you this way. This is my take on it. Every game matters. This game, from a psychological standpoint, and I think this game from a seeding standpoint, means a lot. Of course, if you beat the Chiefs and you lose to them in the postseason, of course, it doesn't matter. But like you said, I think you had a tweet the other day, nationally, local, not locally as much, but nationally, a lot of people were saying the Bills were going to take a step back.
Yep.
And my take is the Bills, best start they've had in 31 years, believe 30 some years.
31.
And knock on wood, I don't believe, I'm not big into jinx, but the Bills, they're banged up right now, but nothing is like the massive gut punch where we've had every year. Trey White, Von Miller, Matt Milano. I think this team is going to be its best in January, and I do think I was ecstatic when I saw the bye was week 12 this year when the schedule came out in May, because I think Buffalo's due for having a healthy team in the postseason. So I'll hang up and just
Well, I just want to thank you, Mike. I forgot Benford missed that game, too. You're right. I mean, crazy, right?
Yeah. I was at that game, and I literally was checking my phone. The game was a 6:30 game, so 5 o'clock, I'm fresh in Twitter, and then, you know, you see Bernard come in, and he doesn't come in with the tablet. I remember someone posted that, and Benford doesn't play. And, you know, I think Benford has been, you know, you could say he's arguably our most impactful player from that draft. I think that draft was phenomenal, but he's in line for a big extension when the time is ready.
Right, right. But I'll say this too, Mike, and I appreciate the call. I will let you go. Thanks for all you do, buddy. I appreciate it. Yeah, and look, I'm going to say this. Here's why. That's a great example. What Mike just brought up Benford too. I brought up Terrell Bernard. And Bale Inspector, by the way. Do you realize all three of those guys got hurt the week before against the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoff game? Bernard got hurt. Spector got hurt. I think Spector was hurt in that game, too, trying to recover a fumble. And that's why it's important to get that one seed if you can. If the Bills didn't have to play that game, those guys wouldn't get hurt, right? I mean, that's really what it is. It's not about home. Yeah, you want to be at home. The reason why the one seed is important is because you don't have to play that previous week, and you might not get hurt the way the Bills did last year. And they did. They'll have those guys available for the game against the Kansas City Chiefs. Sunday, 4:25 p.m. We're going to start things off at 9 a.m. We got a full day for you planned. We got a full show for you planned here. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what I'm doing during the bye week as well. It's going to be very cool. And last night, you might have seen some Chiefs fans sitting on the glass at the Sabres game. I got a story I'll share about that here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Plays it behind the net. Here's Alex Tuck, scores! Alex Tuck got to a great spot, and he's tied the game at 3. With 7:03 to go in the third period.
Dan Dunleavy on the call right there. Look, Alex Tuck, great to get that goal. That play was so pretty by Ryan McLeod, and I got to tell you, I think that trade is really working out so far for Kevin Adams. I mean, yeah, maybe Matt Savoy becomes a really good goal scorer in the NHL, but he's not even playing right now for the Edmonton Oilers. He's still in the minors. He couldn't make their roster. The Sabres needed a guy like Ryan McLeod, who brings energy, brings juice. He had to step up on the top line last night. He's obviously fast. We know that. And he's contributing points-wise, and that's what you need. So he plays in all situations. It's really good to see that as well. Sabres, they are back in action. Let me just get you the exact... they go to Philadelphia. Then they go out west. Flyers, by the way. Flyers have looked pretty good lately, although the Sabres are in that kind of deal with the Flyers right now where, you know, one of these teams that you kind of have to stay with and beat. They play them tomorrow night at 7 p.m. We'll have the game for you right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. All right, so last night, you may have seen some Chiefs fans and Chiefs jerseys on the glass. Let me tell you the story. Now, this isn't every one of them. I do always game day in Buffalo with Matt Bove. It's an Odyssey podcast here. You know that. We put it out there. This week, I was asked to go on the Chiefs version, which is called The Fastest 40. All right, that's their version of It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. It's an Odyssey podcast. And I'm on there with them, and Dan Portillo's on there, and there's another host named Trey who's on there. And it was a really good conversation. We went like 35 minutes. By the way, you can find it in the Always Game Day in Buffalo feed. So we kind of crossed over and did that. It was a really good talk with these guys. It was awesome. And at the end, they tell me, yeah, there's a bunch of them who every year they go to a Chiefs road game, and this year the Bills, this game is the game they're going to. I'm like, oh, wow, that's really cool. You're coming to Buffalo. Enjoy it. You know, lots of tailgating, all that. And then Trey tells me, I think it was Trey, might have been Dan, but I think it was Trey who said to me, yeah, we're flying up on Thursday. I recorded Wednesday with them. So they said, we're flying up on Thursday. And then we're going to go right to the Sabres Arena and buy tickets right on the glass as close as we can get and wear our Chiefs jerseys to the game. So if you saw those guys last time, if you saw people there last night, chances are they were the podcasters from the Fastest 40. And those are the guys I was on with. Now, Josh, you were at the game. You said they weren't all together necessarily. Maybe there's some around different parts of the arena.
Yeah, I was walking around the concourse, and I saw two or three people in Chiefs gear. And then in my seats, like a few rows in front of me, there was a guy, a couple guys with Chiefs gears on or Chief gear on. I didn't see anyone on the glass, though. That was the only thing I didn't notice, but there was way more than I expected. I mean, it kind of makes sense because
maybe they couldn't find a spot there, but yeah.
True, but it does make sense because the Blues are close to
yes, the Chiefs, it's a Missouri team. But they don't have Kansas City doesn't have a. They used to have the Kansas City Scouts, by the way. Yeah. But they don't have an NHL team. It would make sense. And I said, you guys Blues fans are like, well, kind of like that's the team you root for if you're in Kansas City, pretty much.
Yeah. Right? I mean, I think there's been videos of like Patrick Mahomes at Blues games stuff, but it's just, I don't know, it just kind of threw me for a loop. Like I was like, whoa. Like,
well,
they
showed up, they went, and they left with a loss. So there you go. That's the Fastest 45. By the way, find that podcast we talked about the Bills and the Chiefs, and you know, previewed the game. It was really good stuff. So that's who you might have seen last night at the game, and I'm just so glad they left. After experiencing that loss and blowing the game, basically. Anthony in Buffalo, what's going on? You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Yeah, hi, Sal. Appreciate you having me on. Hope you're having a good day.
Yes, sir.
First of all, just a quick note. I can't imagine how losing on Sunday the Chiefs would bring any kind of positivity or benefit. I feel like any mental edge you can have later in the season would be beneficial. But two questions for you. First one is, I've always wondered, why does Sean McDermott, maybe other NFL coaches, let everyone, the media, other teams know that players are out so far in advance of the game? So very typically, right, Sean McDermott does that on Fridays, lists a couple players that are out. If there's even a slight chance that they can play, why not? Why give out that information and let the other team and coaches game plan for that?
Well, a couple different things. Number one, if you know for sure they're not playing, you're supposed to. You don't have to do it on Monday. That's no doubt. You can wait until later in the week to do it. So he doesn't have to do it. There's no doubt. But I believe that part of it would be there's just a distraction of it all week being asked about it, being asked about it. If you just declare him out, say he's not playing, then you know that's the case. Nobody's expecting it. You just go into practice and everybody understands what's happening. The media understands what's happening. I think that last week might have become a little bit more of a circus with that. That's my interpretation of the way that might have happened. The other thing is, I think a little bit is overrated as far as, you know, we're not talking about, no disrespect to Keon Coleman. We're not talking about Justin Jefferson here, right? Like, the Chiefs aren't necessarily going to formulate their game plan around Keon Coleman. He's a good player. He's up and coming, but they're going to play the Bills either way. They're going to play their system. So I don't think he finds necessarily that he would or anybody else would that that's necessarily going to be the case. You do find teams do that with a quarterback or whatever. But I'm sure there's some reasons. Remember a few weeks ago when Terrell Bernard came back and when Taron Johnson came back, he said they're not playing. He did the same thing. The same thing with Matt Milano this week. Hey, he's coming back, but he's not playing, right? So I think there's a little bit of we just want to focus on what we know is happening and leave these distractions aside.
No, I understand that. I was just thinking of the gamesmanship part of it.
For sure.
The other question I have is when you were talking about offensive ranks in terms of scoring. So Taron Johnson's pick six, does that get eliminated from like the total points for an offense, or does it matter?
No.
Does it not matter? Points are points.
The points are points, so it's pretty much a wash. If you give up a pick six, it goes against you. If you score a pick six, it goes for you. And at the end, you just look and say points for and points against, and the league counts everything the same. It's not offensive or defensive. It's just total points.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right, buddy.
That's all I got for you today, Sal.
All right, yeah, you got it. Glad I could answer your questions. We'll take a timeout now because Sean McDermott's going to join us at approximately 10:45. So we'll take that break right here, and then we will come right back. We'll have the Bills head coach, injuries, and a look ahead to the Bills and the Chiefs on Sunday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, before we get to Sean McDermott, who will phone in at some point soon here, let's get to Rick in Boston. Hi, Rick. Go ahead. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hello, Sal. First of all, I'd like to say I just love your positive attitude and energy. It's so much fun to listen to you.
Ah, thanks. I try to bring it, buddy.
You got it. Well, I live here in Boston, but there's no bigger Bills fan. And to answer the question, the gentleman before asked about why are they 8 yards, not 10 yards, not seven. It has to do with geometry. When they were kicking from 7 yards from the line of scrimmage, they weren't booting the ball 50 yards, 60 yards. So they were able to get enough height on it to get over the jumper, the guys mm-hmm. jumping on defense. But when the field goals got longer, they had to lower the trajectory. So to get to that same height, they had to move the ball back. Now, why not 10 yards? Well, if you go back 10 yards, the gentlemen at each end of the defensive line have a fantastic angle
yeah.
to come and block the kick.
Mm-hmm.
And so
they also have to go. They also have to travel further, though.
I'm sorry, the ball has to travel further.
I mean, I said they would have to travel further, though. The two guys at the edge, the edge rushers.
They're so free. The problem is that they have to make a curve.
Yeah,
they can't go full speed right now because if you watch them, they have to take a curved angle.
Yep, that's right. They have to bend. You gotta have benders in long guys sometimes. You know, to lay out like that. Yeah.
If they're 10 yards out, it's more as short as distance as a straight line.
Yeah, I think the caller is thinking about blocking from, you know, the interior part of the line. But your point is there's also the edge rushers you have to think about blocking it.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that. Rick, see, first of all, thank you for the kind words. And you see, this is why we love the Extra Point Show here, and I love bringing it, because you never know when we're going to get a geometry lesson on a Buffalo Football Friday.
Well, you know, I'm a retired geometry teacher besides a
I love this.
Besides a retired football coach, and as a matter of fact, I grew up in Buffalo, and I have some great lineage. My father is a legendary coach from Ken Maurice.
Yes! Good for you, man. I love it. I love it. All right. Thank you, Rick. I appreciate you bringing it to us today.
Thank you very much, man. God bless you, buddy. Go Bills.
All right. You got it. I love that. How about that? Extra Point Show, WGR Sports Radio 550 on a Buffalo Football Friday, far-reaching across the globe into Massachusetts and Patriots territory, Bills fans who are geometry teachers calling up to explain field goals 8 to 10 yards. Yes, when I was growing up, Josh, the line was 7 yards back. It was always 7. At some point, it became 8. And you're like, and I don't even know when that happened. And I remember thinking, like, what, it used to be 7. Every time you'd think about a field goal, you'd be like, add 17. Now it's add 18. That's been like that for years now.
I never even knew there was like a time when it wasn't where it's at right now. Like, I guess I've never really thought about that.
I mean, it's like the conversation about the push-out. The push-out catch used to be a catch, right? And I had this conversation even this week with some people in the locker room again, Bills players. Talked about it a few weeks ago when we were talking about the George Pickens and 2 feet, and it kind of evolved into that. And I think I told you, Taron Johnson could not believe when I told him there used to be a rule where if a guy caught the ball in bounds in the air, but he got pushed out of bounds, they would still give it to him. He's like, what? He thought I was joking. Like, no. He's like, that is ridiculous. I said, I know, right? It's amazing.
I mean, it's a crazy rule. Like,
yes.
Like, just the fact that was even thought of as like an idea is just bonkers.
It's one of the ones that actually went the defense's way. Hey, you can follow me on social media at Sell Sports, any handle. That's Twitter/X. That's YouTube. By the way, thank you so much. Over 10,000 subscribers to the YouTube channel, and it's growing every day because we have Always Game Day in Buffalo. I have my own Sales House podcast. I got a lot going on over there, but always new content here for you. Check it out at Sales Sports on YouTube, Sales Sports Facebook page. And I tell you this because there's this new thing called Blue Sky, right? Now, I'm not getting into the politics of it because that's not what I do. I just want to give you this message about it, all right? I am not Sal Politics on Twitter. I am Sal Sports for a reason. I try to stick to sports. And sure, talk about my life sometimes or something else going on in the world or food, something cool or positive or whatever. You know, promote some things, use it for good, use it for charitable causes, things like that. It's not politics. There's this new movement that a lot of people are leaving Twitter and going to a place called Blue Sky. And I understand that a lot of people are doing it for their political reasons or whatever. I don't care what your reason is. That's great. That's up to you. You have that choice. It does not matter to me why you are on any social media platform. What matters to me is where you are, though. So I have created a Blue Sky account. I am at Sell Sports on Blue Sky. I have no idea if I'll post there. I probably will because a lot of people are going there. I'm not leaving Twitter. I'm going to stay there too. I'm also on Instagram. I don't love posting on Instagram. I do it because it's you know, I get pictures, I want to show something, but mostly to put content out there. I don't love posting stuff on Facebook. It's because I have to. I mean, I like it, I guess, in some regard because it keeps me interacting. What I mean is I hate the idea all the time of recreating a post 10 different times. Now, there are websites, and I was on one recently and was a part of one where you can literally all encompass it and like put a post out and it goes everywhere, right? You could do that. The point I'm making here is, hey, if that's where you're migrating, then I'll probably be there because eventually I hate having to rebuild a following. I've built a nice following and I appreciate it so much. I have 188,000 Twitter followers. It's amazing. And I'm so grateful and thankful for all of that. To go to another platform and to rebuild and to have to gain that following, it means something to me. It does to have that many people. Of course it does. It's prideful, right? But at the same time, if that's where you want and you're having your content, I don't care why you're going. I just know that if that's where you're going, then I need to be there in some respect. I mean, I haven't done the TikTok thing. I keep resisting that. I haven't done the Snapchat thing. I never did the MySpace thing. You don't know MySpace, do you? Do you know what MySpace was?
Come on.
You do?
Yeah, I know what MySpace was. I never had one. I was too little.
Oh,
but
okay.
I knew what MySpace was.
I didn't do that.
I'm not that young. Wow. At least I understand the concept of MySpace.
Are you on Blue Sky yet?
Yes, I am. I just made an account yesterday, actually.
Okay.
I like it a lot because it looks like old Twitter.
And it does.
That's the one thing I really wanted to see was just the feeling of old Twitter.
Right. I'm not making a Blue Sky account because I don't like Twitter. There are things about Twitter I don't like, but I also love Twitter for a lot of reasons. I'm making it because people are telling me that's where they are now. That's why. So go there and follow me. And at some point, I'm going to post over there, and I'll put content out. I have no idea what the first post should say. Like, hello? I don't know. In the Adele voice? Wait, we could do that. Didn't she sing that song?
You could tweet the GIF. She's probably got, like, there's probably a GIF of her saying hello, like, from the music video. I don't know.
I know, right? Yeah, so anyway, I am on Blue Sky. It has nothing to do with any reason why. I posted the other day, hey, I'm going over to Blue Sky. I have an account at Blue Sky. People, of course, I'm getting strays from everybody on both sides, right? That's what's happening. Oh, you're leaving. Might as well move to Canada. Look, I don't care. I don't care why you go. If you're leaving Twitter, whatever. That's up to you. I'm not. I'm just on all these social platforms because that's where you are.
It was funny because I hadn't made like a new social media account in so long that I like all the profile pictures I use, I had to like sift through my photos to find it and everything. And it's like, it's just one of those things where you make it once and then you just never have to do it again. And it was a weird feeling having to remake a social media account.
That's what bothers me. It's like, dude, now I got to copy and paste another one. I got to put this over there. It's like, how many can I handle here? The one thing is true though. I did. I'm like, wait a minute. If everybody's going there, I better go there and at least squat on Sal Sports, right? Like I had to come up with that name. So I did, to make sure. Well, so that's why I'm there. And that's what I'm doing. Okay? 803-0550. I don't care about your politics. I don't need to read it. I don't want you to... I just want you to be understanding of what I'm doing and where I am. And I'm trying to be understanding of you. That's where you are. That's where I'm going to be. Unless it's... I guess TikTok right now because I'm not on that. And I should. I guess I should do TikTok. I got to learn another platform now. All these things, like, I don't know.
TikTok it seems, is, it's.
No? People send me things.
It's hard to get into it.
I'll get a message from a friend and it'll be like a TikTok video. Oh, check this out. I'm like, I can't open it. I don't have an account.
Yeah, I have.
You're gonna have to like screen
that.
Grab it or something.
You can some of the videos you can actually just like save them.
Okay.
And then send them in a video form. But then that's like, it's in your camera roll and it's just, eh.
Right. All right. So I'm being told Sean McDermott is a bit delayed. They're in a production meeting. So let's do this. Let's take our time out right here, okay? And we'll get the Bills head coach shortly after the top of the hour. We also have Paul Hamilton. I hope that Paul can understand. We might have to wait on him, have him on after Sean McDermott. In the meantime, hey, thanks for that. I appreciate it. Go follow me everywhere at Sal Sports. In the meantime, follow me after this break right here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR Sports Radio 550 on a Buffalo Football Friday. Sean McDermott coming up shortly after the top of the next hour.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance, the 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy, or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.